Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Folks, the government is still shut down. In fact, almost one of the longest shutdowns that we have experienced thus far. And we're looking at 28 days now of the shutdown. So we're about 7 or 8 days short of what the longest shutdown may have been. Actually, 35 days was the longest in both 2018 and 2019. And on November 1st, none of the roughly 42 million Americans who get food stamps, and that's Saturday, so that's really close, they're not going to get that aid unless states do something differently. SNAP benefits as well. The state of Louisiana is trying to work something out with some funding and financing that they have. And Democrats have recently lost the support of the union. The American Federation of Government Employees, the president says it's the largest union of federal workers, over 800,000 that they represent. He says the following: it's time to pass a clean continuing resolution and end this shutdown today. No half measures, no gamesmanship. Put every single federal worker on the job with full back pay today. So now they've lost the union. The union now has embraced what the Republicans have put forth from the very beginning, a clean continuing resolution, a clean CR. No magic, nothing attached to it or anything else. And it's what has been done by the Democrats repeatedly over and over again. And they've now rejected this clean CR approach at least 12 times, if not more. And they have rejected funding and financing other things. So this is kind of interesting, right? Colorado Senator, Democrat Senator John Hickenlooper said this: "You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I can't remember a situation where I felt there were less palatable choices." But he still doesn't feel ready to vote to reopen the government like the union is asking. I don't feel comfortable with that because I'm not convinced that, you know, sacrificing whatever it is, 30 to 35 million who are going to either lose health care or pay dramatically more for it, is worth that extra week. But it's tough. Trust me, it's a hard calculus to figure it out. And, you know, it's interesting. None of these folks are suffering the consequences of any of this. They're getting paid. And Hickenlooper's wealthy in his own right. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But there's a level of dishonesty here, because most of the most recent reporting on this issue is that they're facing premium increases in the ACA program, the Affordable Care Act program, which is otherwise known as Obamacare, anyway. whether or not the subsidies are in place or not. And that's what they're not saying. In fact, the most recent study says the subsidies are worth about 3.5% of the 18-30% increases in premiums, depending on where you live, depending on your age, and depending on the amount of wealth in that particular geographic area that you live in, right? So there are a lot of contributing factors to the premium and the premium levels that you actually pay in the Affordable Care Act. Well, they don't talk about any of that. They don't let you know about any of that. They don't want you to know any of that. They want to keep it as general as possible because they're trying to leverage the government for the benefit of the midterm elections. So the other thing that they don't want to tell you is that, so the Democrats put this in place back a while ago with relative to the in the American Rescue Plan, which created in 2021, and only Democrats voted for it, this enhanced premium tax credits that we're talking about for purchasing health insurance on the exchanges under the ACA. So that law in 2021 expanded the eligibility for premium subsidies to individuals with incomes above 400% of the federal poverty line, which means now that there was no upper income limit. So you could make $1 million and you could still qualify for some of these subsidies. And these healthcare premiums, as I told you, they vary greatly by age, location, household, how many people are in your household. And subsidies can reach these households making hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? As long as they live in an area with sufficiently high exchange premiums. And that's the differences that move across this country. So the American Rescue Act increased these subsidies. Cato says that healthcare premiums vary greatly by what I just told you about. And so there's more to this story. But all of this was temporary. The Democrats passed these measures with Democrat-only votes to be temporary. And in 2022, the Democrats voted again. They passed the Inflation Reduction Act. And they extended the temporary enhanced premium tax credits through 2025. Again, it was temporary assistance, according to the Democrats, their words, not mine, to get through hard times. Now, in 2025, they figure now's the time that we can hold up the Republicans, try to back them into a corner, and make this permanent. They voted twice to make it temporary. Now they want to make it permanent. And they're utilizing the government shutdown and the non-payment of federal workers in order to do this, which would cost over the next 10 years about $488 billion or $500 billion. So that's the price right now. Take on another $500 billion in debt, or we'll continue to vote against this clean CR to reopen the government. November 1st is when the premium bills start to go out, and that's why you have the union saying, enough, pass a clean CR, continuing resolution, end this shutdown, and let's see where we are going to go from here. Now, not unlike cutback management that I talked about earlier, right? There's no pretty upside to any of this. You know, if you see the lines at the airports, you're going to recognize, because today is the day that air traffic controllers miss their paychecks. So now they are working without pay. So this is the first time that they're going to get a zero-sum paycheck. And we're going to see how many show up at the airports come tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, this weekend, as we head into the holiday season. It's going to be interesting. On the 31st, Friday, active duty military personnel are due for their next paycheck. We'll see whether or not they're going to have zero-sum paychecks on Friday. We need to end this. We need to end it now. We'll be right back with John Fraboni, CEO of Operation Spark, when we return. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Democrats just voted against, and it failed again for the 13th time to have a clean continuing resolution to fund the government through November the 21st by a vote of 54 to 45. Remember, the Senate needs 60 votes in order for this to advance. Three Democratic senators, John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, Catherine Cortez Masto from Nevada, and Angus King from Maine, an independent who caucuses with the Democrats, actually voted for the continuing resolution. We are now joined by John Fraboni, CEO of Operation Spark, part of our NOLA Coalition segment, people that are making a difference in our community in so many different ways. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. Well, I appreciate it. I love your show.
Thank you, sir. So, John, I was looking at your website, some kind of striking numbers, right? Over 700,000 high-wage computing jobs unfilled. Universities are graduating less than 200,000. Those numbers, you know, the math tells a compelling story here. And this is right in the lane of what you guys do at Operation Spark. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, we developed a program at OpSpark. We've been doing this for over a decade now. And the adult training that we do takes a student from zero knowledge to a $70,000 job as a junior software engineer in about 6 to 8 months. So it was just kind of a way to provide an alternative path to training and getting into the workforce, and particularly the high-wage tech workforce. And it's making an impact in people's lives. And now we have over 400 graduates from that program, and almost 100% of them are employed in that field as software developers. So, you know, in the period over the last decade, it was a good phase for tech in New Orleans. There's a lot of opportunity, and there's still opportunity. You know, there's been a shakeup in the tech sector, but there's still a lot of opportunity, and our program's going strong. We also have a high school program as well. So our high schoolers, we got, I think, 1,000 high schoolers engaged this year across the state of Louisiana, and they are learning industrial-level software development as well, and some of them even go on to take jobs right at age 18 if they stick out the 2-year training with us. So it's an awesome program. We've got great staff, and our students and our grads have done some remarkable things out in the field.
And this experiential model that y'all have, obviously helps facilitate this, but it's got to be an incredibly exciting time with AI. On top of us as well, right?
It is. It's changing the playing field somewhat. In terms of, it's a little bit like having an R2-D2 alongside you in the world of software development. And there's different forms of AI, but with the tools available to software developers now, it's like having a sort of study buddy there that's helping you all the time. So it does accelerate development, and there's even a lot of opportunity in that field specifically within the area of software development and data management and this kind of stuff. So AI is exploding. Some people wonder if it's making an impact negatively on whether it will take jobs away from software developers. And there's been hiring slowdowns in the last 2-3 years, but that's more of a shake-off of the pandemic. And funding incentives have disappeared at the end of the pandemic, more so than it is people being impacted by the AI taking their jobs. So,
It's interesting that you say that, because we talk about that frequently on the show, about that the stimulus dollars, which were appropriately provided to help stimulate the economy, and now we're weaning ourselves off of that. In fact, I guess it's safe to say some companies were maybe even overemployed, but it allowed them to do certain things during a short period of time, a temporary fix. And now, as we wean ourselves off, what a lot of companies that are forward leaning, which, helps in what y'all are doing, is they're looking, for alternatives to human capital to try and, and provide ways of doing things with AI and other tools.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple of components to integrate, to what's going on in workforce development and in the tech industry in general. And I think you nailed it there with kind of weaning off the incentives from the pandemic. I think there was quite a surge in usage during the pandemic, and a lot of people just stayed home and played video games, and that actually really impacted the market, and people were hiring more and more software developers and tech in general. And then there was kind of a mass layoff around 2022-2023, and there's another kind of darker factor to it, though. There's a lot of offshoring going on, and I'm pretty critical about that. You see that this is sort of secretly happening in the background, and I've heard you in your show earlier kind of critiquing politicians to kind of make things right. And I have similar critiques for some of the workforce in tech and making sure that we're trying to encourage by law hiring in the United States. And I think that offshoring has really there's an ebb and flow of it, and it's all about incentives and what policies are in place. But in the last couple of years, there's been a lot more offshoring going on, more so than AI taking people's jobs. And I think that the tech industry should be called out for that.
Yeah, I mean, because this is the emerging industry, one that kids of all socioeconomic backgrounds have proven over and over again that they can excel at this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. And you see it. You've told me the stories before on this show of these young kids and what they're able to do, in your high school program and where they ultimately end up in life. I mean, this is the pathway, or the type of pathway, that we have to create to get ourselves out of this economic morass that we find ourselves in, not only locally, statewide, but nationally.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, we have to look to where it's a little bit like trying to be Gretzky. You got to look where the puck is going when you're making your play. And I think training programs like ours that are rapid and are trying to get people to the workforce as fast as possible, what other areas should we be heading towards and developing programs that are kind of rapid like this? And I think there are some coming back online for the trades. You know, I think there's been a lot of, like, talk in the past 4 or 5 years around, you know, the fact that we're going to need people in these jobs, and boomers are retiring from these, you know, businesses and jobs and stuff like that. So what else is there out there where we can make an impact and really, instead of taking people out of the workforce for 4 or 6 years for the university route, how can we train people rapidly to get into these other positions, whether it's tech or whether it's everything from carpentry to plumbing to whatever? And I think there's a lot of opportunity there coming up. And that's not to, you know, I'm not necessarily saying universities should go away. It's just they do something, you know, they do research and development and areas where the market may not have the time to do those kinds of things, may not be have the time to sort of pause and do the research and the R&D that's going on in universities. But there's still a lot of opportunity for people to sort of more rapidly get into to work and start earning and building businesses. And that's kind of the sector that we're in, and I just encourage other people to, you know, I hope that we can see more and more programs like ours in different areas.
But your compressed, condensed approach, let's be honest about this, especially for your high school program. If, when those kids come out, if they were to go to college, I would venture to say the 100, the 200, and possibly a good portion of the 300 level classes would be of no moment to them, right?
100%. And we
so
even have
it,
like
it begs of a change, right? I mean, in what the universities are doing, they don't change really quick. They're not nimble by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. And I think that there's room for improvement there. And I'll leave it like that. I mean, like, there's been a number of forward-thinking folks in Louisiana looking at this, and that includes LPCTS and Tulane University, for example, Delgado. We have articulation agreements with them in place where our students can go and earn prior learning credits if they wanted to, you know, continue to do a computer science degree, you know, so they can go off the Tulane SOPA program after graduating from our program and knock off several, some time there towards their degree. And they don't even have to do that. Like, someone could graduate from our program, go right into the workforce, and then continue on night school at Tulane and complete a computer science degree and never take out a loan. So there's part of our mission is to try to, like, you know, provide those types of opportunities where we're not strapping our young people with a bunch of debt and potentially, you know, whether or not there's a job on the other side of it is debatable half the time. What that's not a pattern I think is sustainable, and it's really damaging, I think, our youth. As they, when you think about it, like in 1970, how many people had a degree and went into debt for it versus now? It's just we're farming our youth in a way the financial sector is by strapping them with debt, and it's lifelong to dig yourself out of debt like that. So I think that pattern is not a good one, and I think the university should really take a good look at themselves in terms of that type of, you know, that kind of request that they're making of youth to sign up.
Well, I mean, the truth be told is that we're not only financing tuition, we're financing our entire lifestyle for 4 years, right? So we're financing housing, we're financing food program, we're feeding ourselves, you know, we're borrowing money for housing, we're doing all kinds of things. I mean, I worked full time and went to school part time. Mm-hmm. I was the beneficiary of leaving college with no debt.
Right.
You know, took on debt when I went to Tulane Law School, but that was the only time that I ever took on debt. And, you know, it wasn't an astronomical number. It was a manageable number just to tide me over. But these kids leaving with $180,000, $200,000 in debt.
Absurd.
I mean, you know, $70,000 is a great salary But you put a $200,000 debt on a person, doesn't leave many options, right?
Yeah, and across the board, everything is quadrupled. Like when my father was buying a house, it was maybe double his salary, or and now it's like four times your salary or whatever to buy a house,
right,
or five times. So there's a lot of pressure on young people coming up and trying to get into it. I mean, some universities are doing better at it than others. University of Waterloo in Canada, where I'm from, they had this fantastic engineering program, and it's been in place for decades, where they had what they called co-op. So you would go to the engineering school for one semester, then you go work for another semester and get paid. Then you go back to school for a semester, and you'd flip back and forth like that, and basically you were in the industry by the time you were done, and you were debt-free. So I think there's other ways of doing it, and that's a great school. That's where BlackBerry came out of. Google has parked it.
Sure.
Canadian operations up there, because all the engineers coming out of that program are ready to roll because they've had that work experience. So there's other ways to do this. I think we need to take a look, I think there's thinking outside the box could happen a little bit more at the university level.
John, there's not many of us old enough to remember BlackBerry.
Well, it's one of the few tech things that came out of Canada that I'm like, no, over here.
I had one of the first BlackBerry units in New Orleans, and it was because of a friend who was working in New York on Wall Street that I visited, and he showed me this unit. I said, what in the hell is that thing?
Yeah. they were very popular, man. People didn't want to.
Oh, man. I got my first one in New York. They didn't even have them down here. It was like crazy, but, keep up the great work. I mean, the stuff that you offer, and just to remind the audience, 7 months, right? And these kids are able to go out there and just make a difference in their lives and get incredible jobs. And then there's a high school program on top of that where, you guys continue to make a difference. If people are interested, you can visit operationsspark.org to sign up for their adult training program called Immersion, or to enroll in their high school program right there on that website. John Fraboni, CEO of Operation Spark, thank you so much for joining us, and have
thank
a great
you,
week.
Noel. Appreciate
thank
you, man.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on New York Winhart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to go to Dave Cohen, WWL News Director, for some breaking news. Dave?
New Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry has just come out very adamantly against the city of New Orleans borrowing $125 million in an effort to fill the huge budget gap the city is now experiencing. The city says it needs the money to continue to pay city employees and keep government up and running until the end of the year. But Landry says over the last 20 months, he and the legislature have diligently worked to establish fiscal stability in the state and have implemented tax reform, reduced insurance costs, and historically revitalized the economy. The governor goes on to say that it is imperative that the city of New Orleans address its financial matters promptly, and he urges Republicans on the bond commission in both the House and the Senate to reject the city's effort to accumulate debt, quote, on the backs of its citizens. Additionally, he called on the state treasurer, John Fleming and others, to convene an emergency meeting of the Fiscal Review Committee, and if needed, appoint a fiscal administrator to address New Orleans' financial problems. We have gotten early reaction from Clancy Dubose, a political analyst and veteran, who says this is the governor's effort to take over the city of New Orleans. Newell, your thoughts?
I thought we were going to some sound. This is catastrophic for the city. Quite frankly, this is a legal avenue that the governor has and can take advantage of at this point in time. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not the Republican members of the bond commission are going to follow suit. A number of those folks are very close to the governor. It's going to be interesting to see. And this really will handcuff the incoming administration as to put their imprint on whatever fiscal strategy that they intend to deploy with having to satisfy an independent third party as they move forward.
You know, we heard just yesterday from J.P. Morrell, the president of the city council, who thought that because Helena Moreno has been named, you know, has won the election and is the mayor-elect, that the bond commission would be more favorable toward the city of New Orleans and be willing to help the city get out of its current crisis. But like you said, with the governor now urging the bond commission to reject it and calling for the formation of a fiscal review committee to, if deemed necessary, appoint a fiscal administrator, this is going to be a very interesting political fight moving forward between the governor and the city of New Orleans.
At a macro and a micro sense, because I think, you know, it's going to require people to get down into granular details. If you think about what I said in my monologue today, we had agency heads going before the budget committee today saying that they had originally intended to come in and ask for 10, 15, 20% increases in their budget, which is emblematic of internally no conversations taking place as to the fiscal crisis that they find themselves in. And I also made the observation, I asked a lot of financial people that worked in organizations, and I said, have you ever experienced something like this? And I've not had a single person say yes.
So now the fight is shaping up, no doubt, between the governor and the state. Clancy Dubose says it sounds like an effort for the governor, he says, who has always wanted to take over the city of New Orleans, to try and take over the finances of the city of New Orleans and thereby take over governance of the city of New Orleans. We will see how this unfolds.
Well, let's not get all over our skis here, okay, because I don't think it's going to be a long-term situation where the city is going to be answering to the state of Louisiana in the long term. But in the short term, obviously, he has a lot of control and can influence the course of action that we'll be taking here. And I think a lot of it's going to be about right-sizing this organization. It's something that there's not been a willingness to do. It's very hard to do to engage in cutback management. And it may be one way that he thinks that he can compel and force that issue to be had to kind of face the music.
We will hear more about this and comments from Clancy Dubose coming up in the news in about 10 minutes.
All right, we have Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. I wish he had better news to talk about as we come off the heels of that breaking news, but not so much.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on who you want to be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, because it sounds like the Saints are going to go to Tyler Shuck, the rookie. That's a weird transition. I don't know what Coleman's going to title this segment in the podcast feed, but he'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. But yeah, that's the big news. That's what people have been waiting for, I think, to some extent. It's a 1-7 start to the season. What positives do you have? Well, we'll see if your young quarterback has something to offer. And if he does, fantastic. If he doesn't, hey, if you look at the standings right now, the Saints are in line for the number one overall pick. So, we'll figure it out.
So, I had the opportunity to go to the game. I don't know, drop passes, you know, ball strips, four turnovers, three, you know, probably one was, I think, desperation, but, you know, three for sure. It was just, I don't know. I don't know that there was an aspect of the game that really, you know, that there was a bright light. Maybe I'm being overly critical. I didn't feel it. The dome felt flat. Everybody, it just felt blah.
Oh, it was. The dome was very flat. It's funny because this is one of the better defensive performances we've seen in a while, but the offense was so just ineffective that it's hard to even really gauge it, because it's, you know, the Bucs offense didn't do much and they didn't have to do much. So they were content kicking field goals on short fields because they knew that was all they needed to win the game. The only way they lost that game, would have lost that game, is if they threw a bunch of interceptions, turned the ball over like the Giants did. But Spencer Rattler's whole brand through this start of the season, through the first 6 weeks, was, hey, I don't turn the ball over. I protect the ball. I don't make stupid mistakes, you know, and over the last six quarters of his starting run, all he did was turn the ball over. He had six turnovers in six quarters, both games. The first possession of the game, he got out on a scramble. He didn't protect the ball. It got punched out. And every bit of momentum you were able to build on offense, it seemed to just disappear in an instant. You know, you get a fantastic goal line stand. I can't remember the last time the Saints had four stops at the 1 yard line. They actually had five because of a penalty. And then, you know, you do the hard part. You get off your goal line. It's second and one. And then, you know, like, I get it. The Bucs defender made a good play, but you also allowed him to make a good play. You know, pump one time, maybe. I don't know. Like, he's standing there right in front of you. You have to understand he's going to try to deflect that ball. And so it's just, you know, careless moments and turnovers in bad situations, right? Even the scramble, it was a second and four play, or it was a first and 10 play, I should say. Like, that's not a situation where you have to get every yard. It's a situation where you're 8 yards downfield, put two hands on the ball, and, you know, I think that's what, at the end of the day, forced the Saints' hand. Because, hey, if you're not going to be that guy, if you're not going to be that protect the ball, play smart, don't take unnecessary risks guy, then what are you as a starting quarterback? You might as well have the rookie in there, and that's what we're going to get in Week 9.
Yeah, Jeff, well, you know, that did it for me, that play that you just talked about, where Foster Moreau went on about six and out, seven and out. He was wide open. The DB was not playing him tight. Obviously, Spencer didn't trust his ability. He waited, and he waited for a guy that's about 6 inches taller than him to close the space, to close the gap, and he wasn't going to be able to make that pass and throw it over the reach of that individual at that point in time, and that's what happened. Had he trusted his ability and his instinct and thrown the ball right away, as soon as Foster broke to the sideline, the DB, had you read the DB from the very beginning, you would have seen that he wasn't playing tight on him. I mean, he was open by 5 yards, 6 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways that you could have gotten the ball to Foster Moreau in that situation, and you just have to make sure that you do it, you know, and like, even he delayed, all he has to do is pump fake one time, the guy jumps, you throw it, right? Like, that's just, you know, it's a lot easier to say that sitting here than you are out there doing it. But when you're at that part of the field, you cannot make mistakes like that, because it's a touchdown, you know. And that's why you know, why do you go for it on fourth down inside the five instead of kicking a field goal? It's because you force the other team to run offense and that close to their end zone where one mistake is a touchdown. So, you know, the Saints didn't handle it well.
Well, I was in that end zone, so I was looking at it from his perspective, from Rattler's perspective,
yeah.
And it was blatantly obvious to me. And then what made it even worse is when Tyler Shuck came in, similar play, he makes the throw on the break, and he gets like three successive completions doing the same thing, throwing the ball quicker, you know, to the receiver, trusting your ability, trusting your arm, trusting you know, what film you've watched as to the proclivities of that defensive back and typically what he's going to do. And you saw the difference right away on that when you wait as opposed to throwing the ball. And, I'm not saying that I saw something that the head coach hadn't seen, but obviously I was surprised when he put him in. I would have, you know, I thought it was they were going to wait, but obviously he needed something to change because there was – there wasn't a bounce in many people's step out there, quite frankly. I didn't see it.
It felt bleak. It felt hopeless, right? It felt like a lot of those games that you watched last year. You know, you go out to the Chargers and you just have no chance, right? And I think they kind of sensed that and made that change. The interesting thing is they didn't make it at halftime. They didn't really even talk about it at halftime. I asked Tyler Shuck if it had been brought up to him. He said no, it was in the third quarter. So clearly they came out after halftime. They did not like what they saw on offense and made that change. And I think once you – and making that change then basically made the change overall. Like, once you kind of – like, the toothpaste is out of the tube, there's no putting it back in. Like, I don't think there was really ever a situation where you've sent Tyler out there for the second half and then this week you go back to Spencer. So, like, that was a pretty – that was a significant moment. And, I think that pick six kind of broke something. It felt and, you know, I do credit – they did give him a chance. Like, no one can look at this and say Spencer did not get a fair shot at the job. They let it ride out for 8 weeks. They went 1-7. You know, after his worst game, they let him go back out there, and it did not improve. So, you know, I don't think if you're Spencer Rattler, you can sit there and say, hey, they shortchanged me. And if you're Tyler Shuck, now you get a whole half of a season to say, hey, this is me getting a chance to prove that I belong, that I'm a starting quarterback. And we'll see how that goes.
Well, and I'll say this. Our receivers need to start catching the ball.
Oh, no doubt.
And protecting the ball. I mean, I don't know. You know, that's what you do as a professional receiver. You know, you get two hands on the ball, you got to catch 99% of those balls. I mean, I just, you know. And I don't know where the we're not watching the ball. We're not following through. We're not, you know, muscle memory, the fundamentals, you know, and I think that's adding to the frustration as well. It'll be interesting. Tyler throws a much different ball than Spencer, right? It's going to be interesting to see how that will play out as well. Apologize for the shortness of time. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeff. And have a great
week. Sounds good, Noel. Yep, you too.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.